Eric, why don't you
Yeah.
tell me a little bit about yourself and what you do for as you know as a representative of TeliaSonera. You are the senior vice president and head of mobility services. So share with us a little bit about what you do.
Well, I have a background around 10 plus years within the TeliaSonera group. Before that, I was working within the field of venture cap and starting up one of the first IP voice operators in Europe and in Sweden. Today owned by another incumbent that bought it. I was the founder and the chairman of the board. And then for different reasons, I was hijacked and entered the incumbent TeliaSonera. Background within the group is that I've been working in different positions, both in sales marketing as managing director of our Finnish operation in a turnaround activity and sales out after the merge with TeliaSonera. Been in the board of a Russian mobile operator when we created MegaFon. Working 4 years as chairman of the board of our three Baltic countries operation, both fixed and mobile. Been in the board and starting up Yoigo in Spain, and has also been serving as head of the Swedish fixed telecom operation, both for voice and broadband, and head of that for 2 years, and now since a year soon, head of all mobile activities in the Swedish home market.
Wow, so you basically cover a very large area in Europe and also even moving further east, as you said, into some of the Baltic areas. I mean, you see a lot of coverage within your company.
Yes, I've been probably the only place I've not been working within yet so far is in Eurasia, but who knows?
So, the 4G conference in Chicago is coming up, and I your company's profile. I've actually gone into it, and it's no surprise that a company like yours is going to be a part of it. Can you kind of share with us what your involvement at this conference is going to
Well, the reason for me to participate in Chicago is to listen what the other is thinking and what they are planning to do or may be doing to get a new input from other parts of the world than that I probably not get from the vendors or from the local market. So for me, it's a very important point for gathering information and inspiration, as well as facts about what other is thinking about the 4G market, LTE market, the next coming years.
So the 4G mentality, and now there's a lot of consumers out there that understand what 3G is. I mean, there's a lot of phones right now that are 3G enabled, especially here in the States. Can you share with us the difference for our listeners and for those that are going to read this interview, the significant difference between 4G and 3G?
For me, 4G is not just a step forward, it's something totally new. 4G is, in fact, the first mobile network that is designed for data. It's not designed for voice, it's designed for pure data. It's an all IP network. It's no transformation or translation between different kind of technologies or different kind of certain switched networks to IP network and back and forth. It's all IP from the device to the radio station to the core network to the services. And that's the first time a mobile network is designed that way for real mass market activity. That's number one. And for the user, there is two kind of user that this is going to make a big difference for. One is a corporate user, because now for the first time we will be able to see a mobile network, a mobile access that could deliver a service level agreement, an SLA, a QNS that is very transparent to what you have seen in the fixed side before, with different kind of service engagement that normally is not possible to do with a 3G or 2G network. So that's open up totally new aspect for corporate solution with a mobile access. For the consumer, for sure, it's going to lead to a lot more high speed bandwidth. For me personally, it's quite obvious that if you start running a network which gives in a city kernel bandwidth between 20 and 40 megabit for a normal user, someone has said that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, probably people are shaking their head and say, well, it's good that people is dreaming. Now we are doing it. Or are probably planning to do it.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was on your company's site and I noticed that just recently you were able to provide the Swedish Hockey League with new media distribution services, definitely including web TV. Now, do you find the consumer market and the corporate markets shift in how they consume content, you know, more data streaming, more, you know, videos, more audio, more content just being pushed to the cloud and streaming over, you know, the networks? Do you find that shift and focus to be something that is just naturally where we're headed with the way we work with data?
The answer is yes, absolutely. Maybe we are starting from sometimes from a point where we have a low level of activities. If you go to the video conferencing market, it's been kind of exclusive market in the past. Today, you start moving very fast for different reasons. One is cost efficiency. Number two is environment protection, which is really accelerating. And it means that you get out more of your resources in a more efficient way, and it's really start taking off. And the integration of unified communication, i.e. voice, audio, picture, and video conferencing in the corporate market is really starting taking off. And it start taking off in different levels, both on the very sophisticated level with the Cisco equipment or similar like that, or to the small web-based camera equipment, things that you do through low-speed activities of different kind. So it's really taking off on the corporate side, and it's just in the beginning. It's going to boom the next coming years, and it's going to need a lot more high bandwidth accesses as well as core network to support that. On the consumer side, absolutely. I mean, you see the new generation. I mean, my kids, teenagers, they are not looking at TV or film through the TV that often. They're looking more through the laptops.
Right.
Maybe my family is not that untypical any longer. I mean, we are four people living in the household today. And when we are switching on our computers in the evening, the two kids have their own laptops, not expensive ones. They have 5,000-6,000 Swedish crowns, 500-600 euro each. And my wife has her and I have mine. So it's four computers going on as well as the IPTV network. So we are, I would say, quite typical. I mean, maybe a little bit early due to my job, but quite typical Swedish family. And the kids is looking at YouTube, films, clips, whatever it is, and they are streaming all the time. As well, I'm doing through my IPTV at home.
Yeah, well, you know, Eric, it's not, I guess you're not an atypical family because I can definitely vouch, even stateside, myself personally, we have not had traditional cable for television consumption here in this house probably for about 5-6 years now. Hmm. We have relied heavily on streaming data through streaming video. You know, we subscribe to content on the internet that we, you know, download. And the great thing about that is also accessible through our mobile devices. So on the go, we're constantly, you know, watching movies, watching videos, reading content, listening to audio through these specific networks where this data is being streamed. So it's not completely unusual, but I get what you're saying about, you know, the new generation is definitely shifting their focus. I guess looking at the traditional side of how we used to consume content, we're now looking at a very much more highly advanced and very immediate way of consuming content because that's the importance and the backbone of the network. It needs to be able to push that content out. Otherwise, we have a break in the chain. So, you know, I'd like to get kind of more, I guess, I'd like to hear more about the whole idea of more environmentally friendly because I noticed on your website, TeliaSonera actually talks a lot about how it is environmentally friendly a company, but you also just now mentioned with the forward and the shift in how we consuming content how it is more environmentally friendly going this specific route. And with more companies being very conscious about what they're doing to the environment, can you kind of share a little bit about how that plays a role in what you do?
I think that in the corporate market today, we are quite active and pushing the environmental position. And it's no doubt that the interest from the market is catching up heavily. And it's not only cost, it's also because today carbon monoxide and carbon, you say carbon oxide in American, question is on small as well as big companies' desk. They are talking about it, they're thinking about it, they know that each of us needs to contribute. And I think this kind of understanding where the need for contribution from everyone to save, and that's a very big word, to save something for the world, for the earth, it start becoming a reality. I mean, you read about it every day. You read about new ways of producing energy. TeliaSonera is probably one of the largest or biggest company, and I personally has been pushing it hard to today we are just buying green utility. We are buying around 400 gigawatt hours per year in Sweden, just green utility. Honestly, I don't know if they're producing so much in Sweden, but that's another story. But that's one step to do it. If we're going to do this as a telco, as an incumbent, we cannot just talk about it. We have to prove it by ourselves. We've been going for green utility. We're doing this conference services by ourselves. We have reduced the number of travel activities, number of cars. We have moving over to more what we can call not green cars, but little bit greener than it was in the past.
Right.
And we have reduced the number of usage of carbon oxide with, I think today is around 60% compared with 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I personally, especially here stateside, and I know it's more of a global position as well, that companies that take an active role with their environmental position tend to be more attractive to the corporate and the consumer user. I know your company provides residential and corporate options and services, so there's no doubt that that concept and your stance on it is definitely more attractive to somebody looking for telecommunication services. So with that in mind, I'd like to get your opinion kind of on the development of telecommunication services as a whole. You know, telecommunication services grow to fit the end user, whether it's corporate or residential. Do you find that now technology is advancing so much that it's almost kind of hard to keep up with the advances of everything that's going on to fit the needs, or do you find that things are progressing at a steady rate where there's no catch to be made? It's just things are going at a right pace. What's your vision of the telecommunication services as a whole? Are they developing adequately, or are they moving really, really fast?
I think at this moment that the user's demand is moving faster than sometimes we as a telco industry can supply the demand. What I really mean is that the way that people is utilizing the new kind of community services like Twitter, Facebook, etc. is changing everything. I mean, when my 15-year-old son is talking to me, I said to him just a few weeks ago, I say, I can send you a mail. I said to him, I said, don't do that. I'm not reading mail any longer. It's old-fashioned, Dad, he said. And I think this is what it is about. They are so connected, the new generation. They are connected from early morning to late evening, and they are having their mobile devices beneath their head, beneath the pillow. And when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they do is to looking at how many SMS or MMS they have got since yesterday.
Right.
And this is a new behavior. It's not technology. It's how we are using it. And what we need to do is to find ways of adopt the telco industry to or towards this new behavior, which is not the way I behave, because I think I'm modern. I'm 50 plus, and I'm using mail heavily. But my 15-year-old son says, this is old-fashioned, Dad. 20 years ago, I thought mail was not for me either. It was something far, far away, right? It was still a fax 15, 20, 25 years ago. So it's changing very fast, and this is driven by the new, younger generation's kind of spontaneous way of using new technology.
I completely agree. I think it's the demand for the end user, definitely, I think, in any industry, kind of goes way beyond where the technology is today. But it's not, like you said, it's more about behaviors and habits that we tend to establish, especially with how connected we are. I know personally, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I grab my iPhone, and the first thing I do is I'm checking, you know, who's messaged me, you know, check my news. I get my news fed into an RSS reader. So there definitely is that change in habit in how we consume. So, you know, I definitely can see how the end user's needs would far move much, much faster than the technology market can keep up with, just basically based on consumer demand. What are you looking
forward to? But I think it's an important thing just now. When we go, and when everything goes IP, we also have another shift, and I think maybe that's what you were aiming for with your question, is that in the past we did very much investment in network equipment that was based upon one or two vendors, either
right.
High level of engineering design or working together with one or two other vendors. Today with IP, the network in itself is a core network, and you have an access network and a core network, and the application by itself is, in a nice way put, probably put in a nice way, is just connected to the network through a server or an IP address, and then you have capacity behind that. But that means that the services that in the past was very well, or very closely proprietary related to each operator is today no longer proprietary, is open. And the network has to serve this open demand. And that's a totally new situation for many telcos.
Definitely, definitely. You know, as we approach the 4G conference in Chicago, I'd like to hear from you. What are you looking forward to the most? I mean, is there something that stands out as just the gem of the conference that you're really interested in?
I'm curious to listen and hear what other is planning to do with this opportunity that an all IP mobile network is going to give. A year or so ago, I was visiting the Open Forum in San Francisco, and it's quite interesting to hear people talking about open network and open forum, and everyone has their own definition of what open means. For Google people, it means their way. For other, it means another way. For me, it's very interesting to understand how this industry is going to continue to charge for its services one way or another to keep up with a return of investment that is quite high demand from the shareholders, from the board, and from the top management in each company that we are working within, independent where we are around the globe. You know that you have a debate in the U.S. about network neutrality. You know that there is big players that is saying that we just want to have an access to a highway with very low plus cost model.
Right.
The question for me is, who's going to invest?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's the big question. You know, I can tell you here, it's, you know, here in the United States, it's very much a hot topic of debate. There are cities that are there are people that have invested in specific cities that open networks that provide content and there's data streaming all over the city. There's other areas of the U.S. where that just doesn't happen. The whole idea of having open, you know, an open network, being able to share and communicate and connect, is just such a foreign concept that we don't look, you know, we don't look at the benefits of it. We look at the cost, like how come, who's going to foot the bill, basically? Who's going to be the person to invest in this infrastructure in order to make this happen?
Yeah, and with this new mobile 4G LTE, I mean, the question is not mobile access any longer. The question is, I mean, each of these new base stations is going to need at least fiber capacity one way or another. The question will be, is that going to be for free? Is that someone just going to provide me with a fiber plug and I put it into my base station and then suddenly I have, wow, 50 megabit for 1,000 user? No, it's not going to work that way. It doesn't help me to have a new base station with high radio access opportunities if I don't have a backbone, a core network that is designed to support this. And this is something that sometimes we need to address in our industry and get people to understand the need for upgrading our backbone and our core network. And I'm quite interested to hear if there is something going to be said about such topics during this conference as well. So as you probably
Definitely.
hear, I'm quite curious. I'm going there with very open mindset to find out if I can get some new information and inspiration and facts that I can bring back to my decision-making process home here in the Scandinavian and Swedish markets.
Well, you know, that actually leads me to my final question. When you talk about information that you can bring back to the decision makers after you attend the conference, which is really just around the corner, it's coming up very quickly. A lot of great minds are going to come together, great, you know, innovation, lots of amazing information to be shared. So I guess as of right now, what are some of the goals for TeliaSonera as we come to the end of 2009? We have this conference coming up. I'm sure there's more also slated before the year is out. But what are some of the company's goals as we wrap it up for 2009?
2009, one of my major goals is that we should, as much as possible, finalize the first installation or implementation of a working 4G network. And if, as soon as it's available, we get modem in place, launch it, and get the first real test customer live. We have said officially as soon as possible, 2010. And it's quite soon. And yes, now the implementation is going on. We have already press released and showed it for media, the first live base station connected to our network. We are doing two kind of installations, one here in Stockholm with Ericsson and one in Oslo with a Chinese company named Huawei. So we get experience from two sides going on at the same time. And we
Right.
can also start measuring and see how well different vendors is delivering and put it in place. So we are among the first around the globe to not only go for test of 4G LTE, we do it with two vendors at the same time.
That's okay. Hold on. Yeah, you kind of broke up there at the end.
Sorry, now we are using two vendors and testing 4G LTE technology from two vendors at the same time, so we get an kind of call it a experience base or knowledge base that we could use for our next step of decision making, which will probably happen end of the year, beginning of next year, when we go for, based upon the experience we gain from these two cities that we are building, just now Stockholm and Oslo. We will go for the next decision end of the year, beginning of next year, and very much depending on what the price is going to be, what the CapEx is going to end up in, and the experience we gained during this fall is going to be bloody important for the next step of decision making.
Definitely, definitely. So,
Okay.
you know, before we wrap up the interview, is there anything else that you'd like to share about TeliaSonera and some of its innovations, products, services that you'd like to have included in the write-up of the article? Anything that you want to share with our readers?
I think the thing that may could be of interest is maybe also with my own background, I've been a pioneer in the Swedish market with IPTV. We see that with the new generation and the new way we behave, like you described for yourself, the need for having your content, TV's content, available both through a 40-inch screen or through a laptop. It's going to be important, and I see the movement with 4G LTE as a possibility to see that we can start delivering more IPTV-based content through a mobile network. That will be, for sure, a very important step ahead.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining me.